Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
And this is Rebels Remembered, and today we are discussing Season 2, Episode 5, Always Two There Are. This episode aired October 28th, 2015. It was written by Kevin Hopps. The synopsis reads, thanks to Rex's intel, Ezra, Sabine, Zeb, and Chopper head out to an abandoned Republic medical station with the hopes of finding much-needed supplies. When they encounter new enemies, however, the stakes become much higher. And this synopsis is straight from StarWars.com. Since this aired on October 28th, it definitely timed into
Halloween,
and that type of stuff. It was envisioned as a haunted house type story with dangers that lurk in the dark. And I think you get that from, the atmosphere of this. We're going to get into it, but like the mood and the location and
the music.
It's definitely creepy vibes. So Admiral Constantine, again, makes an appearance in this episode. It says, his hushed complaints about the Inquisitor are meant to make clear the separation between military and spiritual sensibilities within the ranks of the Empire. Officers like Admiral Motti, I didn't know these guys had names, and Admiral Ozzel have similar misgivings toward Vader in the film. So I think they're talking about those two guys that are like
the one that chokes. Yeah. I don't know if that's the name or not, but yeah,
And I think we'll get in that, too, about spiritual and military. They're two totally different things.
Yeah.
We also get a sense that Ezra is trying to understand Chopper better.
Yeah.
In this episode. Cute. Also, the medical station is the same design as the one from the Clone Wars, which I kind of thought that because...
Yeah, they use the term Old Republic Medical Station. I don't know if it's a specific one from Clone Wars, but it's definitely from that time period.
Yeah. So we begin this episode with kind of piggybacking on Rex has now joined their group, or not their group, but he's joined the rebellion essentially.
Yeah.
And Kanan and Ezra have this moment where Kanan's trying to teach Ezra how to levitate Chopper. But during that, Sabine tells Chopper to lock down his feet.
Yeah.
Following Kanan's teachings, Ezra tries to lift Chopper with the Force. Meanwhile, Zeb and Rex are playing, I can't say this word. I know what it is.
I call it holographic chess is what I call it.
Yeah, I call it space chess. Dejarik. Dejarik. What the two Jedi don't realize is Sabine has told Chopper to lock his feet to the floor. And then there's this moment where, you know, Ezra's like, I can't do it. I don't understand why. And then Rex is like, hey, you might want to open your eyes. Which to me... I mean, for Ezra, we just had a whole episode about him not being able to see stuff.
And don't trust your eyes because they can deceive you.
Now it's like, oh no, you need to open your eyes. I'm like, I'm so confused. Yeah.
I would be a confused student at that moment.
Then Ezra has this moment where he says, it's not fair. Mm-hmm. You know, they played a prank on me, it's not fair. And then Kanan says, a fight never is fair. And that theme plays throughout this entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
That fights are rarely fair. And then... Captain Rex kind of has this moment where he's talking to Ezra about the Jedi I fought combined the Force with his wits, you know. And then there's this moment where Kanan and him kind of get into it over, like...
discipline and what that means.
Yeah, what that means and... Yeah.
Yeah. But I think at this point, we don't know what the time is between from the time that we saw... Was it Lost Commanders? Was that the one before this? Or was it Relics of the Old Republic? Okay. So we don't know the time skip between Relics of the Republic to now, but I assume he's been there for maybe a couple weeks, you know, because we have had that little line from Ezra, here we go again. So obviously they've been bantering back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah, this is the first row I've had, I don't think. I kind of get that vibe too, especially when Ezra adds that line to it. And then Hera comes in and says she's found a medical station from the, you know, old station from Rex's intel. So it's calling back to what the information he gave them. And if they need some supplies, medical supplies.
Yeah, because at this point, they're still with the fleet.
Yeah.
They're still with, was it Phoenix Squadron? Is that the name of the... Yeah.
So. And in the Rebellion, yeah, you're gonna need some Band-Aids. Probably more than Band-Aids. Yeah,
but a lot of the Bacta stuff, you know.
And she, what's so funny is she signs Zeb and Sabine for this mission. And they're getting into the Phantom, getting ready to take off, and Ezra, like, leaves Kanan and Rex to their little tiff or whatever.
Yeah.
And I love that line where Kanan's like, no, Ezra needs to be learned to be present. And he's already left. He's like, I'm done. I, you know.
It's kind of like, yeah, Kanan wasn't paying attention there much.
Like, yeah, you might want to look at your Padawan there.
Yeah. Left.
They arrive at their destination, which is an Old Republic medical station that was abandoned after the Clone Wars. They approach the hangar bay doors, and using the codes given by Rex, they enter the station and land in the hangar.
Which I said it's crazy that those codes, maybe not too crazy, that the codes still work.
Worked, yes. That's kind of sad, actually, that they would still work like that. Okay, so this, to me, is where you first get the atmosphere setting up for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when they're flying into this hangar, this music is creepy.
Like, very foreboding. And then also, like, I don't know if you guys are, I'm sure you're familiar with, like, scary movies and stuff like that. Sorry, excuse me. Keep yawning. There's this one sound effect that they frequently use. It sounds like a door is creaking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that sound is. I don't know if it's an instrument or it's just a string instrument or... and yeah, there's also like a lot of strings, like creepy violins going on too.
So I think for the alternative viewer, you know, this is, something's going to happen here because I'm getting the sense of like, and that, I think that calls back to or give props to the animators and the people that, the lighting people and all that to set up that, the atmosphere. Yeah. The mood. So they land into the hangar, but the whole power is down. So that's even worse. Now we're in the dark. That's great. To get the power running, the four of them go in search of a command center. The hallways are dark, and everywhere they go, they encounter scattered parts and machines left behind after the station was abandoned. And that's just creepy to me anyway. Like, you think
it'd be like going into like an abandoned hospital. Flicking with that for a minute.
Yeah. Actually, super creepy. It's an old medical station. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that. Unbeknownst to them, an ID-9 seeker droid is tracking their every move.
Yeah, and I thought that what did they say? What'd you call it? I-9 seeker droid?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like a probe droid, but I had up until this point, and I don't know all about Star Wars tech or whatever, but I up to this point had never seen something like that.
I'm sure there is somewhere, but I never saw it either.
I was just like, that's a really sentient probe droid. I mean, most droids are sentient, I guess, but I don't know. It just...
Following orders and...
Yeah, those things felt more alive to me, which made it even more creepy. Because normally a probe droid kind of floats and it records, and sometimes it'll cheat you, you know. I just call it the original probe droids is like a security camera, you know,
right.
with weapons. But these things felt like, I don't know, they kind of creeped me out a little bit.
a plot hole for me, though, for it is why would it be there?
That was what I wrote, is, and we'll get into it, because it's this whole episode's about sort of meeting more Inquisitors and what that means. But for me, it was just like, it didn't make sense, like, why she is... Of course, we know it's the, what is it, Seventh Sister's
term? Seventh Sister, yeah.
Why is she just kind of hanging out there? That doesn't make any sense. Did she sense Ezra through the Force? Like,
I don't know.
There's so many unanswered questions.
Yeah, I don't know. Sabine hears it when she stops to tag a wall with her Phoenix symbol, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, oh, what'd she do? Like, oh, she's tagging a wall. That's kind of dope.
yeah, they find the command center and Chopper powers up the entire station. But Sabine says she only needed that one control panel.
Yeah, way to go, Chopper.
Actually, way to go, because that actually alerts a nearby Star Destroyer. It detects the station's power surge.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I wrote that down, is that apparently the Empire watches these old stations.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which, again, creepy, but also it's like, I think that's probably why Sabine was like, I didn't mean for you to power up the whole station, because, so for me, it was almost like, maybe I'm reading too much, like, assuming what Sabine should know, but it was almost like there should have been a bigger sense of urgency there if you have the knowledge that they're watching these old stations.
Well, they probably didn't. I mean, it's abandoned. It's a piece of junk. What I don't understand is why are they not repurposing them?
That's a good question.
Maybe they're on a budget. Maybe they don't have to...
on a budget.
We don't have the resources to fix that. For me, that's the only thing I hate about this episode is everything seems too convenient. There just happens to be her droid there. There just happens to be a Star Destroyer nearby that detects that.
Okay, yeah.
It seems like it falls too in line. Like, that's...
Too formulaic, maybe?
Yeah, I think that would be.
Gotcha.
An officer that, you know, reporting it suspects it to be the Rebels, but Kallus dismisses that possibility as it could be anything such as a malfunction or scavengers. However, the Fifth Brother states that it is the Rebels they seek and sets out for the station. So it makes sense why he's there. Because he just
was introduced in the last episode.
Yeah.
That makes sense. In fact, he's the one that caused Kallus not to get his backup.
Yeah. But she appears out of nowhere, it seems like, to me.
Yeah.
Back at the station, Sabine has managed to get all the inventories, but most of them are corrupted and unreadable. And she is unable to tell where the medical supplies are. Or if they're even there. Ezra suggests they go looking for them while Chopper stays behind to try and repair the files. And then there's this moment where Ezra and Zeb, I think it's to add levity. There's moments of levity in this episode. Yeah. To break up the creepiness. where they get into an argument, like, who's going to get them first?
Yeah, like, it's a race. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, have Ezra being super confident about, oh, I'll find them first because I'm the Jedi, you know.
But did you notice what I noticed about this?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure I saw it. You know, medical supplies have that symbol on them.
Yeah.
Okay, when Ezra and Zeb take off and they're running, they run past a door that has a crate with, that's it. So they ran right by them.
Oh my gosh.
I noticed it when we were, I was like, oh my gosh, they're right there, and they just passed them. Okay.
So I guess the one point of this episode is, yes, there are cases where you should use your eyes.
Essentially. Chopper hears a strange noise from the hallway and decides to investigate. And this one, he runs into the secret droid that electrocutes him.
I like how you see Chopper kind of shake a little bit, like he can tell he's scared.
he's you know, even though he's a droid, he's got emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts communicating with Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
That he needs help. And, Ezra's like, well, we need to go back and help him. And he's like, well, let's go through the...
Yeah, because it's almost like they went down a level.
Yeah.
And Chopper's above them. Above so them. They have to use the... What do you call it? Air vents kind of thing.
Yeah, the ventilation
shafts. Ventilations, yeah.
And of course, Zeb, bless his heart, he can't fit. I knew that before we...
Yeah, I knew that too. It's like, dude, why are you trying? Like, you're not going to fit. Honey, I'm sorry.
So now we have Ezra and Sabine going looking for Chopper, but instead they find the secret droid, and then it's so creepy how this is done. It kind of backs up and kind of, you see this hand and it kind of crawls up her arm, and it's just very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Ezra thinks she's a bounty hunter, which, I mean, if you look the way her helmet is, I could see why he would make that assumption.
Yeah.
But after activating her lightsaber, she's revealed to be Inquisitor, known as the Seventh Sister. I don't think we ever get her name in this, actually.
I don't think we do either. I'm not exactly sure when that is used or said.
I want to say it's first used in Future of the Force, so way later.
Okay.
When we come and run across them again.
Okay. I would just say, Sarah Michelle Gellar did a really good job portraying her and making her seem very calculating and cold and... Yeah.
I was shocked that, you know, I think it was revealed that she's going to have a part in this season, but I, you know, it was never revealed who it was, and then I was like, oh.
Well, we know Freddie was making jokes that she was going to play a Wookiee, or she had played a Wookiee before.
Yeah.
Again,
I think for this episode, it also goes back into, I've mentioned before, where this season is like Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a moment where... You know, they're running away from her, whatever, but as they're running away from her, they run into another one.
Yeah, Fifth Brother.
Which, he got there fast, that's all I'm going to say about that.
We get that cute line, or funny line with Ezra. How many guys are there? And then Sabine's like, two. And they keep running.
Yeah. That is a good question. How many Inquisitors are there? Let's give me an actual number.
Yeah.
They try to get away from him, but then this moment freaked me out when she uses the force to pull Ezra and he falls on the ground.
Yeah, it's like, very, very, again, very horror movie. Like, ugh. Like, you're just looking for if he had fingernails to, like, claw into the...
Yeah.
I was waiting for that because it was very creepy.
And then, you know, of course, Sabine rushes after him and then he to cover her escape, he seals the door.
Mm-hmm. Which, I love the banter between him and Seven Sister when she's like, very Jedi-like of you. He's like, I'm learning. You know, so mm-hmm. I'm carrying those lessons of self-sacrifice that he's taken from Kanan, and yeah.
The fifth brother immediately tries to kill him, but the seventh sister wants to use him as bait to trap the others. So, these two Inquisitors, while they are Inquisitors, they are vastly different than the Grand Inquisitor. But they're also vastly different than each other.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She is more, and you get it through this episode, she's more calculating and cold and...
Thinks ahead.
Thinking ahead, yeah. And even the way she fights. She gives him a lot of orders in this season.
Like, the fifth brother?
Yeah. And I feel like he doesn't... it's almost like he kind of... if he rolls his eyes a lot, I feel like. Yeah. If he could, you know. Like, so that's what I don't understand is she's seventh sister and he's fifth brother, but five is before seven, so how, maybe I'm overthinking it. Like, who actually is over each other?
Well, I think this just brings in a whole can of worms that I knew we were going to talk about when we got here is, sorry, the whole thing with the Inquisitors is just, I understand why it was done, because they can't go up against Vader all the time.
Mm-mm.
They need a foil that, you know, is a big enough threat that makes you care about the stakes and, you know, the stakes have to be high. But I need more information on how they got started, who they are,
mm-hmm.
How many of them are there, how does the ranking system work, is it like a Sith and an apprentice, where the Sith takes on an apprentice, and then, you know, how Vader got here once he killed Dooku, mm-hmm. which put him... above right. him, and then he was following the Emperor, so I'm like, I also feel like there's probably the sense of, like there is in the Dark Side of the Force, where it's like, I could kill you and then take your place kind of thing,
because
mm-hmm. I want to grab power, but yeah, the whole her giving him orders and, you know, I don't know if we get another Inquisitor in this season, I think we do.
We do.
And I'm like, I understand it, but I need more, like, information and how this works.
Well, I know we had a conversation with our dad last night about it, about the Inquisitors, and he was like, Vader and the Emperor can't control the whole galaxy. So...
No, I get that, yeah.
It makes sense they would send agents or Inquisitors to capture Jedi and do what they need them to do, but...
Because the Force doesn't end. The Force keeps going. And people having those abilities, like Ezra, and there's other people like Ezra out mm-hmm. in the galaxy. So, I understand that part. It's just... This is, like, the first time we see the Inquisitors. You see them later on in, what is it?
Kenobi.
You see them Kenobi. You see them, I think, in Ahsoka.
I think so. I'm not 100% on that.
But, yeah, I'm just like...
But they were a new idea, which it makes sense.
It makes sense, but I think there needed to be more execution of exposition or something, you know? But, of course...
You need to know everything.
If I'm a 10-year-old kid watching this, I don't need that. Although they're a bad guy. You know.
Right.
But, you know, if you're an older person, you're kind of like, but then you're like, but how far do I want to go with this? Can I just accept the story and move along? I am not one of those people, fortunately.
You're like, too analytical, I think.
I think you're right. I think I'm a little bit too analytical about the whole thing.
Okay, so Ezra's been captured, and Sabine goes back to Zeb, has to pull him from the ventilation vent.
He's still stuck.
And, you know, she tells him there's Inquisitors after us, and he's like, I think he says one was bad enough, mm-hmm. I guess the line he says. He's like, well, let's go contact Kanan. And she's like, no, we can't do that because...
They'll lead him back to the fleet.
To the fleet.
Yeah.
And then I love how she says, we have to rescue him ourselves. He's like, how are we supposed to do that? So I feel like this episode was... I think... Which happens in season two a lot is there's a lot of different character setups in season two.
Mm-hmm.
And this was interesting because Hera's not there and Kanan's not there. And those are the two leading members of the Ghost Crew. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to figure it out.
On their own. Yeah.
Which is terrifying, but at the same time, it's interesting to see them confront that without the two leading
members. Yeah, that's true. Members. I think about that.
there's moments, little moments with Ezra and the Seventh Sister, and she's impressed with how his skills are as a Jedi, even with him resisting an attempted mind probe. She offers to teach him more, noting that his mentor had never reached the rank of Jedi and is ill-qualified to instruct him. But Ezra cites Kanan's defeat of the Grand Inquisitor, something that the Seventh Sister admits was unexpected, but presented the other Inquisitors with, quote, new opportunities. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. Like, I think it's going back on what you were saying, mm-hmm. is like...
Okay. Who takes his place? If he's the Grand Inquisitor, mm-hmm. is there a ranking system? It sounds like there is. You have numbers, and you have people giving other people orders, and you have the Grand Dude, like the granddaddy of in the Inquisitors. Mm-hmm. So my question was... I understand he's taking orders from the Emperor, but does the Emperor then delegate some level of power to him to the other Inquisitors?
Yeah.
So when she says new opportunities, does that mean, oh, I get to move up in rank? Is it like that? Like, you know, I'm happy that guy died because I can, you know, do what I want? Or, yeah, I don't...
But then, you know what she says after that? There are many hunting you now, all intent on killing you and your master.
Sure, yeah.
There's many.
I will say I do like how Ezra in this scene really holds his composure. For a 15-year-old kid, I think at this point, 15, 16-year-old kid. But also, he also has that level of confidence that I think we all wish we had, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit. So if he's afraid, he's just very good at hiding it, you know. But also, he's like... I think it's also him having faith and trust in his team. Mm-hmm. And Sabine and Sam to get him out of that spot, too.
It's definitely a big shift for him when you think about season one, Ezra. He's like, they're not going to come for me.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah,
this is like...
Very, like, no.
No. I mean, and then I love how he has that thing about Kanan's like, well, he got rid of that other one, so I'm just going to stick with him.
Yeah.
Like, very overconfidently arrogant.
Yeah, you know? A little bit of arrogance.
A little bit there. Of arrogance, yeah. So then we cut to the fifth brother who's searching for Zeb and Sabine with the seeker droids. Now there's like, what, three of them,
there's
I think?
There's three of these little guys.
And Sabine, of course, has planted thermal detonators. And here's another thing that's never happened before in the show. She tries to trigger them or whatever, push the button, and they don't work because the fifth brother has sensed where they're at and where... her and Zeb are at, mm-hmm. and is, like, using the Force to, like, kind of throw them at them.
Yeah, but I think the thing that goes back to, you know, I think when they came out in season two, they said this was Empire Strikes Back. So if you haven't seen Empire Strikes Back, that is sort of, like, going up against a challenge and understanding how big the challenge is, like, the whole Empire, but also, like, you're gonna lose. So I think for me, that was like, oh, I mean, they don't get out of here and just fly away, you know?
Yeah.
It was very different, which I liked.
So he uses the detonators against them, and so he knocks her unconscious and takes Sabine. So now Sabine's been taken,
mm-hmm.
Leaving Zeb and to defend himself from those little creepy seeker droids. And I always laugh when he's like fighting them off, and then he's in front of his head, and he just kind of bangs his head on the crate. It makes me laugh every time. Back at the command center, the Seventh Sister interrogates Ezra in an attempt to get him to reveal the location of the other rebels, most notably Ahsoka, whom she reveals the Inquisitors are not fully aware of. Bridger is shocked to discover the Empire knows about her and attempts to feign ignorance.
So that sort of ties back to Cecil Thaw when Vader revealed to the Emperor that she was alive.
Mm-hmm. Despite the Seventh Sister's best efforts, Bridger refuses to cooperate. And then that's when Fifth Brother shows up with Sabine. So now it's up to Zeb. It's kind of like when you're playing a video game and your two members have been captured. Now it's just up to
it's
you.
It's just you, yeah.
It's down to Zeb. And then Zeb finds Chopper. Of course, he doesn't understand a word he's telling him.
Yeah.
And he returns to the Phantom to get his bow rifle, but he doesn't think he stands a chance against the Inquisitors. But he refuses to leave Bridger and... Ezra and Sabine to their fate. So this is another showing how much Zeb has grown, calling back to that first episode when he just left Ezra.
Mm-hmm. I think sort of like that, redemption for him a little bit. Well, it's also back in season one, there was a lot of redemption moments for him, but he got so much flack for that from the fandom.
Yes, I remember even Steve was like not happy that he left Ezra. He's like, what? No, I can't just leave him. Like... And then he uses Ezra's comm link and says his name is Commander Mayluron, which to me was kind of calling back to Fight or Flight.
Oh, okay. I heard that, but I wasn't sure what the callback was. But yeah, I think it was Fight or Flight. Is that where they go and get the...
Maybe runes.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Because yeah. That's the one thing Hera wants them out of Hereford to get. Yeah, I remember that now. Okay.
He says they missed their check-in and ask who described his damage. I think that they know it's Zeb. You know, they kind of, her and Ezra, you kind of get this thing like, oh,
Could like, you have to pretend that it's...
It's actually a commander. Under. Right? Sabine says she doesn't need any support, but after the fifth brother threatens to kill her, Ezra reconsiders, and he's like, you better bring Kanan and Ahsoka, you know, and I think... I just have to say this. These Inquisitors are dumb at this moment. You really think there's somebody out there named Commander Mele Run? Even Seven Sisters like, go ahead, answer him. I'm like, you dumb.
Do they not know what a Mele Run is? It's a big galaxy. Maybe they don't know what that's fruit or something. I don't know. Yeah, I will say I did like the part where they threatened Sabine because that kind of strikes me as why they wanted to capture her and Zeb in the first place, because it's very clear that he cares about them and the rest of the rebels. So you're sort of using that, your emotions against you to make them do what you want, which is, again, very calculating. But yeah, the whole Mele Run thing, I was like, on one hand, you're very smart, but on the other hand, you're very dumb. So
it's like, you're really going to fall for that. Okay. And then he tells them, Zeb signs off of the comm link, telling them to keep their chin up. Which, to me, I wouldn't think that was anything.
Well, you had to understand the inflection of how he said it.
That's true.
Which, for me, I guess they told Steve to add some sort of inflection to that to make it sound like, or at least to the audience, that means something.
Means something, yeah. So they meet back in the hangar bay, and I love this part where Zeb is in the Phantom just chilling upside down on the ceiling.
Yeah.
And he's like, Ezra's like, okay, that meant something. He looks up and sees him. And yeah, that little moment where Zeb's just like, he waves his hands. Like, we're going to get out of here, I promise.
Which, again, these two Inquisitors have the Force, right? Why did they not sense that they were floating above them?
Exactly.
They had to have the Isle, whatever, the secret droid point, like, garble and point up for them to look. Like, your droid's smarter than you guys are.
So, of course, you know, he flies down with the Phantom and shooting at him or whatever to allow Ezra and Sabine to, you know, get back aboard. And you think, okay, we're safe. And then all of a sudden, they're using the Force to pull it back. Not only pull it back in, but also shut the door. And I'm like, no, you were so close, you know? And normally, if it was a season one episode, I'd be like, they're going to get out of here. But after everything I've seen previously, I'm like, maybe they don't.
Maybe they're going to be taken to the higher ups, and then we have to break them out, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. And also, you have this little, I don't want to call it banter, because I feel like I said, the Seventh Sister and Fifth Brother are very interesting, have an interesting dynamic when she's trying to bring them back or whatever, and something happens where he's, like, trying to, like...
So Sabine starts shooting at him, so he has to start deflecting it. So he can't... I don't know why he can't deflect and do this at the same time, but...
And she's like, I can't hold it by myself, you know?
Yeah.
So they do actually manage to make it out alive miraculously. And also, the main reason they came here, not only did Zeb save them...
He saves both of them, and then his quote is, I'm paraphrasing. He managed to save both of them and get the medical supplies by himself. That's the quote he uses. I'm like, yes, yeah. You did. Yay, good for you.
Good job, Zeb. So they're back aboard the Ghost, and I guess while they were gone, Rex and Kanan just decided to play space chess.
I guess. We'll pass the time a little bit before they get back.
So they return with the medical supplies, but they have to inform them, Kanan and Hera and them, that we ran into a problem. We ran into two Inquisitors.
Yeah, not one. Two
of them. There's this moment where Zeb's like, Kanan, why didn't you tell us there was more?
And then Kane's sort of taken aback by the question, mm-hmm. and, yeah. And then Ezra has to feel, well, they know about Ahsoka. He's like, oh, I'll tell her, you know. Yeah. I don't know why they thought Kanan would have the answers or know
maybe,
about that.
Yeah.
It just goes back to the whole Inquisitor thing about when they appeared. And I told Dad, like, this last night, like, and he wasn't understanding because he didn't read, the Kanan comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in that comic does he meet an Inquisitor. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but he never meets an Inquisitor during the entire time of, like, hiding after Order 66. So I'm like, when did this become a thing, you know?
Well, he wouldn't run into them because he wasn't showing he was a Jedi.
I still would have thought there would have been some talk, if that kind of talk was allowed in the Empire, you know?
But maybe, like, it's so secretive that you only hear of them if a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, to assume that Kanan would know that, I don't know.
And then Hera immediately notices, she's like, did you know there was more than one? And he's like, no. I'm kind of like you. I'm like, why didn't he know that? But also, he didn't even know about the first one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're assuming that he knows more about these Inquisitors when he didn't even know about the Grand Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. I don't know the extent of what Kanan knows about the Inquisitors. But yeah, I'm kind of like with you. It's like, he seemed like he had no knowledge of what the Grand Inquisitor was.
Yeah.
Even he
asked him when they first meet, who are you?
Yeah, who are you? So, to assume that he would know that there's this whole organization of them, like, I think that was a bit of a stretch for them to ask Kanan that, but maybe it's one of those things where they just think he knows all, and he doesn't, you know?
And then we end this episode with Kanan's line that says, we really have no idea what we're up against.
Foreboding a little bit.
Like, we already ran into Vader. We're ready for him. Now we've got these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think since they're now working straight up with the Rebellion, it's a whole nother ballgame.
Yep. I think that's sort of established from the ending of one, that you knew that if they're going to get involved with the Rebellion, there's going to be bigger obstacles because you're legit uniting with other cells to take on a full-blown empire. When before, it was kind of just a ragtag group of people trying to help out where they could. But yeah, I do like the hug between Hera and him at the end, and Kanan at the end.
Yeah.
That's very sweet. Trying to reassure him that everything's going to be okay. Even though it might not be. Because the way this ends, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen? What did you rate this episode?
I gave it a 7 because the pacing is really good. It really keeps you entertained, and there's not really parts where it kind of slows down. I just took off points before the plot whole situations.
I'm going to say 7 too. I had an 8, but I think looking back on it, like, there's too many coinky-dinky coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying previously, like, there's a little bit of plot holes with that droid that just happens to be chilling in
the
station.
Yeah, she just happens to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, if she used the Force, say that. You know, don't let me guess it about why she's just hanging around there.
But I think it was also trying to be a shock to the audience because we know about the fifth brother.
That's true. Yeah.
So this was almost like always two there are. That's also pulling
from... Is that a Yoda quote?
Yeah, it's pulling from a Yoda quote. I think it was trying to surprise the audience with, okay, there's not just him, there's this other lady.
That would have been fine had they switched the two.
Yeah.
If the fifth brother was already there, because we could see that he was already tracking them, and then she shows up.
Mm-hmm. She just kind of appears, which I don't like.
She's already there when they get there, which doesn't make sense to me. But, I mean, and then the whole Inquisitor thing is just, there's just a lot of more questions that I have that, in my opinion, in this season, spoiler alert, guys, is not... If I remember correctly from season 2, it's not adequately ever answered. They're just kind of there to be an obstacle to the rebels because, and I understand you can't keep using Vader because Vader is not an Inquisitor. Vader's a Sith Lord. Like, two totally different, completely different levels. Like, they're not even in the same league, but just be honest. So, having something that they need to go up against, but also know that they can't be too strong because then they'll be killed.
This whole episode, each episode of season 2 so far has had a totally different vibe than the previous one before it. Not saying they're disjointed, it's just kind of, like I said, different character setups, different places. So yeah, this whole episode has spooky haunted house vibe for me.
Yeah. It's definitely a Halloween episode, I would say.
Definitely a switch from Old Man in the Sea.
Yeah. Old Man in
the Sea. You know, that
Jaws, episode. Yeah. Definitely a switch from Jaws.
You guys can follow us on X, YouTube, and Spotify, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.